Welcome to Candid Catholic Convos, a program brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. Our mission is to humanize the Church and help you to grow in your faith, love, and understanding. I'm your host, Rachel Trochet, a cradle Catholic who's only human and struggled with faith on more than one occasion. Each week, you'll hear engaging, down-to-earth interviews and actionable strategies you can implement into your life with ease to help you grow closer to God. If you're ready to open your heart and step fully into the person God created you to be, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, and thank you for joining me on another episode of Candid Catholic Convos. This episode is part 4 of our new series focusing on the Eucharistic revival. And every couple weeks, you'll get to hear another episode with more interesting facts and experiences. Now, if you're listening to this wondering, what is a Eucharistic revival? Don't worry, you're not alone. The Eucharistic revival is a nationwide grassroots initiative by the USCCB and Catholics to restore understanding and devotion to the great mystery of the Eucharist. If you've seen the news or ventured out into your community, it's easy to see that the world is hurting. We need healing. We need hope. We need strength. And the Eucharist offers all of that. This national response to the Lord's call began on June 19th, 2022, the Feast of Corpus Christi, and will continue all the way until Pentecost 2025. There's a ton of great info and resources on eucharisticrevival.org, but today we're going to be talking about how you, right here, right now, can fall deeply in love with the Eucharist. If you have any questions about the Eucharist you would like to have answered by one of our priests, be sure to send us a message on social media or our website, and we'll try to get it answered throughout the series. Today, we're chatting with Father Joshua Brahmer of the Cathedral Parish of St. Patrick in Harrisburg about the tradition and mystery of 40 hours devotions. Father Brahmer, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to have you on the program. Could you start by just telling me a little bit about yourself?
I'm very happy to be here as well. I am the pastor of the Cathedral Parish of St. Patrick in Harrisburg and the director of the Office for Divine Worship here at the diocese. I've been a priest for 16 years, and I am happy to serve the people of the diocese and to exercise especially a role in the liturgical life of the diocese to teach and to help form those who are desiring to grow closer to Christ as he comes to us through the sacred liturgy.
That's really awesome. So have you kind of always wanted to be a priest, or is this something that you came to later?
Sure. I felt the call to be a priest very early on in life. By seventh grade, I was absolutely certain that this is what God was calling me to. And it was one of those unique experiences that happened in prayer, that I was praying and I felt this intense call that this is what I was meant to be. And I remember kneeling down, for some reason, I had the presence of mind to be able to say to the Lord, I know this is going to be hard. I know this is what you want from me. But if you promise to help me, I promise to do my best. And so since seventh grade, I've sort of had my mind and my heart fixed on accomplishing what I think is God's will for my life. And that's to serve him as a priest.
That is incredible to have such awareness at like 12, 13, 14 years old. That's pretty awesome.
It's a unique, I think, experience for many. So.
Oh, absolutely. So speaking of unique experiences, I've heard people talk about having a truly transformative experience when they receive the Eucharist at some point in their lives. Have you ever had an experience with the Eucharist that you would say changed you?
When I was growing up, our parish was a part of our ordinary family life. We weren't fanatical Catholics. We were faithful Catholics. And so not only was the parish and the school a part of our Sunday worship and daily living, but we also attended all of the extras that happened in the parish as well, both the social events and a lot of the religious events. And one of my earliest memories, and it has to be somewhere before I was even maybe in school, I remember my mom and my sister getting ready, and they were saying, we're going to 40 hours. And I thought 40 hours was some kind of party happening at the parish because my mom had made Rice Krispies treats. And I thought, well, if we're going to have Rice Krispies, this has got to be some sort of party. And so all the way there, driving there, my sister was giving me dutiful instructions. She's older than I, and she was very clear. When you get there, you have to kneel down on two knees, and you have to be very quiet. And they were going through all of these instructions, which seemed odd since I thought I was going to a party. Like, why would this be happening? And then we walked into the church, St. Peter's in Columbia. And as I walked in, the church was dimly lit, but on the altar was the monstrance and ablaze with candles. And there was a smell of incense in the air. And for a young child, that impressed itself so deeply on my mind and my heart that to this day, I can still see what I saw at that day. And I remember not having to struggle to fall to my knees. And I remember there being probably my first experience of God in that moment. So for me, as ordinary as the life of the Eucharist is for my priestly life, celebrating Mass each day, bringing Holy Communion to the sick, it's rooted in this initial experience that I had of Christ present even before I even knew Christ was present, and the divine truly being manifested through Eucharistic adoration. So that's one of the instances I often point back to when I tell people, you don't know what your children are experiencing. You don't know what God is doing when you bring your children to church. And so to bring your child to church, to give them the experience of prayer, to give them the experience of worship is so necessary, because it can be a moment like that that can completely open up an individual to God's life and God's love for the rest of his or her life.
That's incredible. And it touches on the point of God makes the ordinary extraordinary. And like you said, like, especially as a parent myself, sometimes I find it hard to bring my little wriggly 3-year-old to Mass because he just wants to run around in the narthex. But it is so important that our children are there to experience it, because you're right. We don't know what they're getting out of it versus what we're getting out of it.
One spiritual author describes the grace of the Eucharist like the sun shining on us, that we aren't even aware sometimes that we're being sunburnt. And it's happening in such a way, and we're just basking in the glow and the fullness of God's grace. And he's filling us, he's changing us, and he's touching our souls in a way that we can't even imagine. And I think that's especially true for children, that children have an access to God that's unique from adults has got to be something we can't forget, because they're not filtering everything through the mess of adulthood. Mm. Everything is innocent, open, and in many cases new. And to give children the experience of prayer and the Eucharist and of Holy Mass is one of the great gifts that we can't deny them, because that could be the most significant moment in their entire lives that gives them the trajectory that'll lead them closer to the Lord and to the church.
Absolutely. And you are a case in point. That is very, very awesome. When I was young, I was kind of like you, where when I first learned about 40 hours, I initially thought it meant that you had to be in church awake and praying for 40 hours straight. And I thought, wow, there is no way I can do that. You'd have to be a literal saint. So you can imagine my relief when I learned that that's not exactly what it is. Can you explain what a 40 hours devotion is?
The core of 40 hours devotion is adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament over a prolonged period of time. I think in most of our experience in the United States today, and especially in the Diocese of Harrisburg, it is not always 40 continuous hours. We have special chapels all throughout the diocese, adoration chapels that are called perpetual adoration chapels, where adorers come every hour on the hour, and Christ is adored in those places continuously. It's a special and unique gift that we have throughout the diocese to have those chapels. 40 hours, in its essence, is intended to replicate that experience, but on a parish level, and to give the ordinary parishioner who might not have the opportunity in their ordinary course of life to take some time to, even in the middle of the night, to pray to the Lord and to be quiet with Christ in Eucharistic adoration. So it has this opportunity for parishioners and a parish community alike to spend an intense period of time in prayer. One of the things that I think is important is that it also is a time of conversion. and renewal for the parish family. We've lost a little bit of that, but in the origin of 40 hours, it was rather like a mission or a parish renewal service. Confessions were offered on a regular basis, and so priests would come from all over to provide confessions, perhaps even each night. And one of the ways in which the priests were paid for that service, dutifully coming to hear confessions, is there was a meal for the priests at the end. We've retained the meal for the priests, but sometimes we aren't doing the confession part that leads up to that. So the opportunity for confession, the opportunity for celebrating devotional life and devotional prayer together, the opportunity to gather around and listen to God's word as a parish community, and the opportunity for personal, quiet time with the Lord is the very core of Eucharistic adoration throughout the 40 hours Eucharistic devotions.
So that would explain the Rice Krispies.
Exactly.
That your mom was
exactly.
That makes so much more sense. So let's talk a little bit more about the Eucharist. In a lot of other churches, the idea of the Eucharist is considered merely a symbol of Christ, whereas for us, for Catholics, it is truly the presence of Christ. So for those who aren't Catholic, or maybe they're in the process of becoming Catholic and receiving the sacraments for the first time, how would you explain to them what the Eucharist and 40 hours is?
Sure. And it is rooted in what our belief is, that Jesus Christ is truly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the form, under the species of bread and wine. That though our senses experience the taste and the texture, the experience of bread and wine, we believe that what has happened is Christ has made himself present there fully. So it's no longer bread, and it's no longer wine. And we're very careful in our language not to speak in a casual way and just say, oh, I received bread today, or I received wine today. It's always qualified. We have received the bread of life. We have received the precious blood. We have received from the cup of our salvation. And all of that's important. Our language is so important because it expresses that something unique has happened in the midst of the celebration of Mass. If you ever pay attention to the celebration of Mass, you can see there's a moment when the priest will join his hands together and they will be facing downward over the chalice and over the paten that has the bread and wine in it. That moment is called the epiclesis. And what we believe is that the bread and the wine are transformed not by human power, not by us just desiring it to become bread, desiring it to become wine, willing it that way, or just believing it that way. It's far more objective than that. That through these rituals, God has promised to send the Spirit to bring about that change so that bread and wine can become the body and blood of Christ. And so for Catholics, it's this fundamental core belief that what is happening there is God's activity, God unveiling his power to change what is so ordinary into what is extraordinary and miraculous. At the core of the distinction between Catholic and non-Catholic belief with regard to the real presence, it's that objective nature of God through the Holy Spirit making Christ present, as he promised on the Last Supper, at the Last Supper, to be truly present to us if we would just do this in remembrance of him.
Absolutely. And it's such a powerful moment. Like sometimes, you know, you don't really think about that often. Some people, I think, just sometimes I'm guilty of this, of you just get through the Mass and you forget that like what's happening is actually something pretty intense. Normal bread and wine actually becoming Christ's body and blood.
When I celebrate baptism, and you can't do this with Mass so much, you know, it's not something I would ever do at Holy Mass. But when I celebrate baptism, right after I have poured the water over the child's head and I've said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I stop. And one of the things, I look at everyone who's there and I say, through something so simple, an action that's so commonplace, God has done the most extraordinary things. And that's the mystery of how the sacraments work, that through those elements that are so ordinary every day, through bread and wine, through oil and through water, God is able to do the most extraordinary and miraculous things for humanity. And at the very heart of everything that we believe, the sacraments are God's sure way of coming into contact with us so that we can have his grace, his life, full in our hearts and our souls. And so if we had that opportunity at Mass, I'd love to be able to stop and say, just stop for a moment, everyone, and pause and behold what has happened. That through God's promise, by repeating Christ's words and his actions, by calling down the power of the Holy Spirit, what is ordinary bread and wine is no longer. For Christ is with us, as he promised, and indeed in every generation will be truly with us. It's something we need to maybe marvel at a little better. The Holy Father talks about rekindling Eucharistic amazement and wonder. And both Pope John Paul II and Pope Francis bring us back to that. We need to rekindle our amazement, our wonder and awe at this great sacrament.
Right, right. We talked about this a little bit, but what happens during a traditional 40 hours devotion? Is it just 40 hours of silence? You mentioned it's more like a spiritual retreat.
So every parish has the opportunity to make it their own. They can take their parish community, their parish prayer and liturgical schedule, and transform that over the course of a few days into an opportunity to truly pray in the presence of Christ, in his Eucharistic presence. And so there's not a single pattern that is mandated for 40 hours in every parish. So in some parishes, you'll begin at the last Mass on a Sunday with solemn exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. That's when the host that has been consecrated at that Mass is placed in the monstrance. And the monstrance is that beautiful, usually golden, and sometimes other precious metals and precious gems, that object that is used to show the body of Christ. So when we talk about exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, it means exposing the host as we can see it with our own eyes in this monstrance, usually right in the core, the center of it, and gives us that opportunity to be able to draw near to Christ, to look upon him as he looks upon us. That is usually the first step of any parish's 40 hours, to expose the Blessed Sacrament at their last Sunday Mass. And then it begins a period of quiet time, typically, that parishioners would sign up for half hour or hour slots to be present so that the Lord is always attended to. You remember what happened the night before Jesus dies. He goes off and he tells the apostles, stay here, watch and pray. And he comes back and they've fallen asleep.
Right.
So what we want to do is we want to make sure that someone's actually doing what he told us to do. So we stay and we keep watch and we pray. And that's the core action of the entire 40 hours. When it first began, and indeed in some parishes still to this day, even in our own diocese, it was 40 continuous hours of adoration. And so that it began with the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, and for 3 days straight, there was a continuous opportunity to adore Christ for 40 hours. It rekindles the memory of Christ when he was spent 40 hours in the tomb. And so it takes us back to the Easter mystery. It also rekindles that number 40, which is so significant in the life of the church. But we can get maybe into that a little later. In most parishes, each evening there would be an opportunity to gather either for evening prayer or for a celebration of the Word of God. We call it the Liturgy of the Word. And scripture would be read. And in both cases, typically a priest or a deacon is invited to preach. And their role there is to preach on the Holy Eucharist in such a way as to stir us back up into deep faith and devotion. And so priests are invited, deacons are invited to share their own personal reflections and to call the parish back to Eucharistic faith. We know in our daily lives, we can get very sleepy at times. And we do indeed fall asleep in our spiritual life from time to time. So the purpose of the 40 hours devotion in a parish is to wake us up and to stir us back into devotion and to love for Christ and for his true presence in our midst. So each of those evenings would be marked by a special preaching. It's unlike a Sunday homily. It's something that's maybe a little longer. Yeah, maybe the priest is already preaching too long as it is, but it's usually something a little longer, a little more intense and focused on what we believe as Christ truly present. And it's filled with those examples, those opportunities for us to grow closer to Christ. In some parishes, each evening that concludes adoration, and there's not adoration through the night. In other places, there is the possibility of adoring the Lord through the night. And people sign up and they have a secure door that they enter. And so every hour on the hour, someone is there to, or two adorers are there to be able to adore Christ. That culminates in the final evening when there's a large liturgical celebration and hopefully also a large parish celebration. That as a parish, we gather together and we sing the Lord's praises, the final homily is preached, we rejoice, and then benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament occurs typically on that last night, if it hasn't occurred each night, which is a possibility as well. And benediction is when we lift the monstrance and make the sign of the cross over those who are present and bless everyone with the body of Christ. It's one of the most solemn forms of blessing that the church has, to bless us with the true presence of Christ. And each night, that is one of the great opportunities, but especially on the last night, it's the solemn conclusion of the 40 hours devotions.
That's pretty cool. And it's again, going back to the making the ordinary absolutely extraordinary, just taking several hours to be in the presence of Christ and really like reignite that spark. That's pretty cool.
It's one of the most needed things right now. I think when you think about human relationships, it's the little things that keep the spark alive. You mm-hmm. know, between a husband and a wife, it's the unexpected flowers. It's the nice little note that's left. It's the text that says, I love you, when nothing was expected. That help keep the spark of love and tenderness and affection alive. Our relationship with God is very much like that. We need to be able to have those little things that give us an opportunity to express our love and our affection for the Lord, who is present to us and with us through the Holy Eucharist on a regular basis. When we don't do that, the relationship will falter. When we do that, then we're always sort of ready for whatever the Lord has in store for us.
Right. It's a two-way street. Like, we're always asking God for something, but we got to show up for him
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely, yes.
So when did this tradition of 40 hours begin in the Catholic Church? Is this relatively new, or is this a very old practice?
We can say with some certainty that we're coming up on 500 years of the 40 hours devotion.
Oh, wow.
Although there are some evidence that it has existed or did exist in some places as early as the 12th or the 13th century. It was a part of medieval piety. But it's definitely in the 1500s, the early 1500s, especially in the Archdiocese of Milan in Italy, where this devotion seems to have originated. And we have evidence of letters being written to the Holy Father asking for special blessings and indulgences attached to the 40 hours devotion. So we look at the 1500s as probably the very core place where this was happening. It was driven by this desire to enter into a state of reparation and penance for sins against God, sins against the church, and failures within the church to be able to defend the faith at times. And so we have these different services coming about, especially throughout the city of Milan. And it develops in such a way that even in Rome, the Holy Father, by 1592, proclaims that he wants the 40 hours devotion to happen within the city of Rome and to be continuous. So in 1592, the Holy Father, Pope Clement VIII, says, I would like this to be one continuous act of adoration, so that as one place is concluding their 40 hours, another place is commencing theirs. And so you have this sort of loop that is happening, this constant circle of adoration and love that is folding itself all throughout the city of Rome, which is a beautiful and wonderful idea. In fact, when it came to the United States, and it's St. John Newman who brought this devotion principally to the United States, that was part of the practice, that parishes were scheduled one right after the other, every 3 days or so, to be able to have 40 hours in one continuous movement. And we're told that John Newman, as the Bishop of Philadelphia, tried to get to many of those celebrations of 40 hours, whether it was the opening or the closing of the celebrations, so that he could encourage the faithful and to be a part of it. When he brought the devotion originally to the United States in the end of the 1800s, there was a little bit of consternation among the priests. The priests were afraid that it was going to foment a greater persecution of the church that was happening, especially in the Philadelphia area. This is the time of the Know-Nothings, when churches were being burnt down, and the Catholic faith was undergoing a bit of persecution within the city of Philadelphia, especially. And so they were afraid that this would draw undue attention to what makes us distinctly Catholic and upset those non-Catholics who already had it in for the church. But John Newman heard that, he realized that, and he didn't want to do anything to hurt the people. But he had this experience where he fell asleep one evening and he woke up and there was a fire around him. The candle that he was using to read and to write letters had ignited some of the papers on fire. And he woke up and he realized, but as he looked at everything, that he could not hold back. He took that as a sign from God.
We've unfortunately run out of time, but if you'd like to hear the rest of this episode, you can listen to us anytime on Spotify under Candid Catholic Convos, or you can download this episode from our website at hbgdiocese.org. Thank you so much for listening. Our goal at the Diocese of Harrisburg is to walk with you on your faith journey. So if this episode resonated with you in any way, the easiest way to show your appreciation is by sharing this program with your network or by leaving a review on your listening platform. You can also support us financially by making a donation online at hbgdiocese.org/DAC and clicking the Make a Donation button. Thanks again, and we'll see you at church on Sunday.